Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
We're back here on our Friday edition of the program. Thanks for tuning in this morning. Our focus now shifts to aviation and travel. Brian Summers is Senior Aviation Business Editor for Skift.com, is with us every Friday morning, and he's with us again today from Los Angeles via Skype. We'll begin this morning, Brian, with the latest update on Southwest Airlines versus its mechanics union. Some new details about what's going on at Southwest.
You're right, Steve. For a while now, Southwest has been having some problems with its mechanics. Southwest says a lot of work is perhaps taking longer than it should, and the mechanics are writing up things that maybe they haven't written up in the past, and this is leading to a lot of cancellations and a lot of flight delays. Southwest says twice as many airplanes on some days recently have been out of service compared to usual. Southwest has long said that this could be part of a labor dispute. The mechanics do not have a long-term contract with Southwest. The sides have been negotiating for about 6 years. So that's old news. What's new is Southwest finally went to federal court to try to put a stop to what it says is this job action. This is not that rare in the industry, but Southwest is asking a federal judge to basically say, mechanics, knock it off. We know that you're in a contract dispute. We know that you need an agreement with the airline, but you basically have to work in the same way that you worked before the dispute. These things can be hard to prove, right? I mean, the mechanics say, look, our job is to point out safety issues with aircraft. We're writing things up that need to be written up. You're making the call to take the planes out of service, and this is just the way it is. Southwest, in its complaint, basically points to historical data and says, you never wrote up this stuff in the past. It's very odd that you're doing it now, so you need to knock it off. I think it's possible that a federal judge will give the airline some relief and tell the mechanics to stop what they're doing or what Southwest thinks that they're doing. I don't know about the long-term solution. I think both sides need to come to an agreement so that there can be a new collective bargaining agreement and things can go back to the status quo. I don't know when that's going to happen. I wish it could. I'll take it personal here for a second. I'm going to be flying Southwest in a couple of weeks, and I've noticed these increased delays and cancellations, and I'm a little bit worried. You know, what if my flight is delayed or canceled? But I have to tell you and the listeners here, Steve, that I am not worried about safety. Southwest is a very safe airline. It's just because of this, they're not running the operation that they want to.
Yeah, and since our conversations have aired, I've heard from a couple of people, listeners, who are also customers of Southwest, and there's that little tinge of question in their minds about whether or not, you know, if the union is right and there are more safety issues that they're dealing with, let them handle that. Why get involved in that? So there is a little bit of consumer concern here.
There certainly is, Steve. Again, I don't know that consumers have that much to worry about here, and Southwest is being proactive, right? When the mechanics write up this stuff, Southwest isn't saying, let's fly the airplanes anyways. They are grounding the airplanes, and they're making the fixes that the mechanics say need to be made. But this is slowing down the airline a little bit.
American has similar issues. What's going on at American with this?
Yeah, you know, these sorts of things happen, Steve, when an airline is in tough labor negotiations sometimes. American isn't as bad, but American has been having ongoing labor negotiations with its mechanics. The mechanics are upset that American wants to maybe outsource or what they call offshore more work, and so the sides have been negotiating for a long time. The American Mechanics Union does come out in public, and they talk to people like me, and they're very set and they say lots of things, but to the best of everybody's understanding, the airline's operation is not being affected that much or even at all, so flights are going on as they always have. But American also needs a new contract agreement with its mechanics.
Let's move on to another story that's out there. It's involving United Airlines. Some discussion about when to delay flights for late running passengers.
Yeah, this is a fun one, at least for me, Steve. We've talked about this on the program before. A lot of airlines, United included, are obsessed with this airline industry metric called D0. D0 means flights that leave exactly on time or perhaps a little bit early, but not 1 minute late, not 2 minutes late, not 5 minutes late. And so this is why you'll see a lot of airline employees closing the door and rushing to get out of there exactly on time. The problem with that is sometimes airlines know that there are some connecting passengers who are running just a little bit late because their last flight was late. And if you were to delay this flight for 5 or 6 minutes, those connecting passengers would make it. But a lot of airlines will just close the door on them and say, look, we've got to get this plane out. We have people on it, and the people who missed their connection need to wait for the next flight. United says, look, we have better data right now, and we're not going to be so rigid. So if we think that we can delay a flight 5 or 10 minutes or even 15 to wait for connecting passengers, we are going to do it so long as we don't create further problems down line, right? So if a flight leaves 15 minutes late and then it arrives, say, in Chicago 15 minutes late, now you're creating more misconnection opportunities for more people. But people know that a lot of times flights, just for various reasons, end up arriving 20 to 30 minutes early or something like that. So United's going to say, look, we can delay flights and take a delay on departure if we know the flight is going to still arrive on time. United talked about this at an investor conference this week, and it looks like something they're going to roll out. Steve, you know that I am a super flyer. I fly a lot. I believe it or not, don't love this plan that much. I like it when my departure card, my boarding pass says I'm going to leave at a certain time and the flight pushes back at exactly that time. I don't love waiting for connecting passengers. Sometimes I miss a connection. I understand what that means and I'll take the next one. The plane that already has 200 people on it should just go out on time. That's just my opinion.
Well, and also I think what you're talking about is this dynamic D0, and it's happening at Denver, I guess, is where they're testing it, where they're giving gate agents more power to delay the departure, do it exactly what you're talking about. Sometimes those gate agents can make the wrong decisions, I'm guessing.
You know, sometimes they do, although part of the excitement, I think, for United about this program is the gate agents are going to have much better data. So a lot of airlines in the past, you know, 10 years ago, the gate agent or even the pilots would make a decision about whether to delay a flight, but they wouldn't have all the information about what it would mean for the airline the rest of the day or the people on the plane. Now United says we can make a pretty good guess that we can delay this flight, wait for the passengers without creating further problems later in the day, right? That's a big problem because you do not want to delay a flight 15 minutes and then realize that all of your flights for the rest of the day are going to be delayed 15 minutes on that plane because you're now behind.
There's another story, Brian, I want to get to before we let you go this morning. American and Delta settling some claims over long tarmac delays, people sitting on the runway.
Yeah, these are pretty small fines, Steve, but the Department of Transportation came out recently with a couple of fines against American and Delta. American is being fined $1 million. Delta is being fined $750,000. Each airline doesn't even have to pay the whole amount. They're basically getting half off for what I would joke is good behavior. People may know that the U.S. Department of Transportation came out a few years ago with new guidelines for ground delays. And basically, airlines are supposed to let passengers off the airplane during a delay within 3 hours for a domestic flight and 4 hours for an international flight. And this came after lots of folks had complained that they were basically held hostage on airplanes, right? We've all heard these stories over the years of folks having to spend 7 hours on an airplane and the airline wouldn't let them get off and there was no food or water and the toilets overflowed. So the Department of Transportation came out and said, you can't do this. You have to let people off in a reasonable amount of time. Most airlines are very good about this. They track these tarmac delays, so they generally know when they need to let people off the airplane. But American Airlines has, I think, 6,700 flights a day. Multiply that by a year, it's a lot of flights. And sometimes mistakes are made. Sometimes people end up on the airplane longer than they should. And that's why the Department of Transportation came out and issued these fines. They were in relation to specific mistakes that American and Delta made on specific flights. So one of the things that they noticed with American is American for a while there, I think, was pretty interested in what the industry would call gas and go. So you might be planning to land in Chicago. There was bad weather in Chicago. You would divert to Madison, Wisconsin. Instead of letting you off the airplane, American would say, we know O'Hare is going to open soon. We're going to get fuel in Madison, Wisconsin, and we're going to wait to depart, and we think we can do it in this window. Many times they're right. Sometimes O'Hare doesn't open when they think it will. People end up spending more time on the airplane than you think.
Okay, Brian, good conversation. We'll talk to you next time.
Thanks, Steve.
Brian Summers is Senior Aviation Business Editor for Skift.com. That's @Skift on Twitter and Skift.com. And follow Brian, too, on Twitter @Brian Summers.